people, even terrorists, have habits. They get up at certain times and go to bed likewise. They eat and talk, tell stories and air their worries. The very good ones never mention operations, nor use a name that can be attached either to anyone present or a member of their organisation. These guys have been exemplary. Their talk was all surface and no depth, so that the surveillance teams wondered if they knew they were being watched. They'd learned from past mistakes, taking up residence in an underpopulated part of the United States, close to an escape route on the Canadian border. A seemingly harmless group of co-religionists seeking a retreat from the mayhem of modern city life. The penetrating December cold made the job of the FBI a misery. Icy cold when it wasn't actually snowing. The frequency of the latter made the job of planting listening devices, sensitive enough to pick up the terrorist voices, close to a nightmare. Sound had been successful, video less so, due to the need to get so close that tracks in the snow threatened to compromise the whole operation. Eavesdropping produced good results. Muslims, they prayed rigorously 5 times each day, but discreetly, indoors, in a line on their mats, heads bent towards Mecca. The pair who went shopping locally for food spoke good English and dressed in Western style. There were none of the halting phrases or flowing garments that would draw attention to them here in this backward setting. Just big puffer jackets with hoods. The group had been targeted through electronic surveillance. The National Security Agency knew that Osama bin Laden used internet connections to talk to his followers. With coded messages and constant name changes, plus the use of non-active sympathisers to forward emails, they were a hard group to track. Internationally, it was almost impossible. Internally, with millions of email messages flashing across the net daily, it still took an opposition mistake to pick out the ones that mattered. 3 half-understood words on a regular sweep had been enough to alert the computers scanning the airwaves. With the assistance of the internet server, a domain address was isolated. Its messages automatically passed to the NSA, who got a fix on them just before they changed both their telephone number and email address. Nothing concrete, just enough to put the FBI on their tail. When the quartet left Albany and headed north, they were under routine surveillance. The camera over the entry channel to the US at the Canadian border had picked up Ismail Lukayadov, though the time it took to identify him through computer screening meant that he nearly got clear. The alarm bells that mugshot set off rang all the way to Washington, D.C. The face of every biochemist or nuclear physicist who'd ever worked for the Soviet Union was on a computer file, bought from a senior KGB officer in a secret, very lucrative deal. That's when the FBI had a blue-on-blue. 2 friendly forces running smack into each other, each unaware of the other's presence. One group was tailing the Islamic militant cell going north. A second, the Chechen biochemist on his way south. When Lukayadov met bin Laden's cell at a roadside diner, the confusion was total and very nearly terminal to both operations. Luck had sorted out the mess and had brought the surveillance teams here to the woods north of Lake Champlain. They'd watched their quarry for 2 weeks now, followed them on their trips out of state, never more than 2 at a time. Noting the purchase of certain chemicals, plus the equipment.